Welcome to the Experience Delhi podcast with me, Ketki.
And me, Anubhav.
The goal of this podcast is to help travelers to Delhi fall in love with our city.
In today's episode, we talk about the caste system. The caste system in India is misunderstood by many, and we wanted to clear the air around the caste system. We want to talk about jatis and varnas and how they can help us understand the caste system better than the word caste itself. To help us in this conversation, we've got Akhilesh, who really has a lot of interest in this subject and has read a lot about castes, jatis, varnas, and how India was and what India has become today. We talk about the relevance of the caste system today's time and age. Let's get you to this conversation with Akhilesh at the Lodi Gardens with Ketki and I.
When travelers come to India, a common question is about caste system, right? Yeah. People say, well, what is the caste system? Is it still prevalent in India? So what, how should people look at the caste system, and what is it that people miss about the caste system?
Because a lot of travelers ask the same question. I would love to understand, what was the understanding in the past and how it applies today?
So as always, the challenge is with the word caste itself. The caste is not an Indian word. It has the word has come from outside. The words that we use for this ourselves are jati and varna. And these two are two different words, and they have two different connotations. Let me talk about the word jati, because generally when we refer to the caste system, we are talking about jatis of India. Jatis were economic rather than social. I think the way to understand them is to look at what was each jati doing. So there was a jati of potters, a jati of blacksmiths, a jati of goldsmiths, a jati of weavers, a jati of, and so on and so on, and jati of people who created garments and so on.
So professions, is it?
Yes, professions. Yes, but there are differences. Pre-industrial times, each village would have different communities, and each community followed a particular profession, and they lived together, and they shared best practices, and they shared how they led their lives, and that was what constituted a jati. Now, the common challenge with caste system, as we see it now, is that there are different castes, and some castes are higher, some castes are lower, there is discrimination against some castes by some other castes, and so on. So we can address all of this, but let us understand first the form in which it was. So this is what jatis were. Now let us look at varna also. There are four varnas in our scriptures. There is Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. And there is a mapping between varnas and jatis. Now, but that mapping was never fixed. A jati could move between varnas, and there are so many examples of that happening over India's history. We look at it as a very rigid thing, but it was not like that. Now, when the varna system was created, and we don't know exactly when it was created, but it began as the basis of varnas was not birth. The two words that are used to describe it are guna and karma. It was according to each person, and if I can use the word tendency, that the person could become one of these. Over a period of time, for various reasons, it was fixed by birth, and it was not impossible for very hard to go outside of one's varna and become somebody else. There are examples of that happening, but those examples are few. So this was varna and jati. Now, what has happened is we have looked at the caste system in a very, very rigid, in a very particular way, and there are connotations in our mind about everything about the caste system being bad. Now, there are problems which we all own, and those problems are now going away. For example, in today's cities, in today's urban centers, the jati to which I belong has no role to play in the life I lead. I come to a city for a job, I do that job, I live with my family and I interact with people around me. And maybe people are aware of my jati because of my name, but that does not come in the way of me leading a normal life in the cities.
So you would not go to a friend's house and ask him, what is your jati?
No, I would not. Why would I?
Nobody does.
Nobody does. In villages, there is still discrimination, specifically in particular, in the case of particular jatis. And it is the responsibility of all of us to see that that changes. And there are attempts being made at multiple levels that changes.
But it's not prescribed by law. It's just not. And it's surprising
The funniest part is that there is nobody who comes to your door and says, okay, thou shalt discriminate against this or thou shalt get discriminated. It's not like that. The system is inherent in our society for ages and it is there. And because of which there are challenges, but because of which there are some positives also. Now, what happens in this whole narrative is that we don't look at what is good about the jati system. In fact, it is very hard to speak about it because of just one way of looking at it. And this is not an attempt to defend the caste system or anything. It is an attempt to see that everything has both sides. Thomas Jefferson had slaves. So what? We today talk about Thomas Jefferson as a founding father of America, and we look at the good things that he did, and this is a fact we understand. That's also it's about that time. And so everything has,
so everything has a reality.
Yes.
And it is a part of the system.
Yes.
Or the part of our lives at that time.
Yes.
And which was taken as a, it was very much okay.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, how we understand it is that, of course, the caste systems, what we read or what the rigidity we talk about or what we know of does not exist. But of course, the form has changed.
Yes, there are new caste systems coming into place today. And
but that's a very interesting conversation for later. I think we should finish the thread on the benefits or the benefits of the caste system that nobody wants to talk about because it's politically incorrect sometimes.
So pre-industrial times, if I have to let us talk about an example. Let us talk about potters and a colony of potters. Right now, if you want to become a good potter, you could learn it from your father who is a potter, or you could go and become an apprentice to a neighborhood expert who would teach you how to become a good potter. So there was no university to become a potter. Your home was your workplace. Your home was the place where you got education. And then you became a potter. And then you started. And after your father, you got all the customers that he had. And then you start to serve the society by making pots. So that was how the system was. And the fact that all potters lived together meant that it was difficult for anybody to discriminate against a particular potter because all of them were together. And they learned from each other, they gave each other strength, and they lived as a community. Their voice had weight because they could go to the king or they could go to the village panchayat and ask and demand what they wanted as a community. So those are some of the strengths. And in pre-industrial times, for example, notions such as insurance did not exist. So just as an example, 100 potters are living together, somebody's house gets burnt, the rest 99 would help build that house. So it was also insurance for you.
So it's like a guild.
Yes.
Guilds. A modern day guild.
Yes.
You and these existed in India for almost every profession.
Yes.
Thousands of years ago.
For thousands of years.
Or have been existing for thousands of years.
And still exist.
So that's why you see concentration of particular professions in the same area or people doing the same thing in the same area.
Yes. And you see that even in old markets today, you will find all jeweler shops in the same or sari shops in the same area and so on.
Okay. But you know, you'd also mentioned a really interesting analogy for the caste system. You'd said that if you could replace the the way in which the caste system is phrased today is that you're born into a caste, you can never change the caste that you're born in, and you are forever going to be in that caste.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah. So, why don't I say those few sentences? So, one is born into a particular caste. One is rarely allowed to change the caste. Whatever is the acceptance or image about that caste sticks to that person forever. These are some of the things that we have been saying about caste, right? Now, let us replace the word caste with country. I am born in a particular country. A minuscule percentage of people from a country would go to another country, get a chance to go to another country if they want to. If I am born in, whatever country I am born, the perception about that country, the image of that country is something that I live with all my life. So it's like that. I'm not saying anything particular. I'm just giving you an interesting analogy.
No, it's the same. And you can extend it to economic strata. You could extend it to a lot of other things.
Yes.
Even the clothes you wear bring you the same, similar. I guess these are shortcuts, right? These are mental shortcuts to put you in a particular category so that we can understand you better.
Yes.
So it's not the caste system which exists in India, which probably we are discriminated or negatively known by. It happens all over the world.
Yes.
In every single place. So any kind of, let's say, division of the society on any basis is primarily what is caste system.
Yes, and it exists everywhere in some form or the other, because that is basic human nature, unfortunately. It would have been great to that everybody was equal. At the same time, let's understand that everybody being equal is not the same as everybody being same. The beauty of India, and that we don't understand sitting here now, is how diverse this country is, and because of which how beautiful this country is. And the richness of India in its traditions of all kinds, in its artisanship, in the richness of its agriculture, in the richness of its traditions, of in all respects, in whether they are knowledge traditions or traditions, as I said, related to artisans, the diversity is unbelievable and something to be happy about. If we discover that complexity, it's a source of delight. And one way to do that is to not look at all of these from the point of view of textbook knowledge. It's really to understand India. And so if you are coming to India from outside, instead of reading Wikipedia pages about what India is and understanding caste system from books, the best thing to do is to understand India by talking to its people, by getting into the bazaars, by going to historical places, by talking to people who are following living traditions. That is what will help you understand India. And very interestingly, it's when you come to India and you go back, if you don't go back with a part of India in you, then what's the point of coming here? So as you come into India, India has to get inside you.
So when I say shopping, it's not just shopping and filling up your suitcases. It's shopping for experiences, shopping for a perspective that will change you for life.
Yeah.
And an outlook which will make you see beyond what you've read.
Yeah.
It is not just ticking off certain sites.
Yes.
It is more about, it's more than that. It's more about the people, it's more about the culture, it's more about the real life and how people live it here.
So I would like to talk about a very interesting story, I can say, that I read once, and how it is related to understanding India's traditions. So Ashish Nandi is a very Indian sociologist, if I can say that. And he talks about two concepts which are very unrelated to each other, but he relates them very beautifully. He talks about museums and trains in the same breath. So he says that museums are a way of traveling in time to the past in a manner where we come out unscathed, where we come out untouched. So it's like we get into a Native American museum in the US and we look at how the Native Americans lived, what they ate, what they wore, etc. And we come out without worrying that we will be captured by the Native Americans and we will be troubled. We are confident that we will go and come out unharmed. Similarly, when Britishers brought trains to India and they used to travel in space, like you travel in time in museums, you travel in space in trains, they took their whole atmosphere that they were comfortable in the train. So they had their the food they ate, the upholstery, everything that they wanted around them was in the train, and they would go inside, deep inside India, and they would look at outside people with the comfort that the people outside, the natives, are not going to come in and harm them. So if you look at India like you look at museums or you look at people from within the trains, then what's the point of it? You have to experience India and India's traditions and India's sampradayas by becoming a participant. And I don't mean you have to follow the rituals. You have to get closer. You have to interact. And only then will you discover something which is different than who you are, because which is what will delight you when you come to India.
So, Akhilesh, we've talked about the origin of castes and how they exist. But, you know, we want to know more about how they were and what it means today and how they've kind of evolved in today's life.
Yeah. So, again, as I said, I will use the word jati. So, let us understand the jatis of India with examples. So, I always like to take potters as example. So every jati, the basis of every jati was economic. So, potters create pots and then they sell pots. And so, potters live together as a jati, and the way the economic model worked at that time was very different from how it is today. So let us understand that a little bit. So there are three aspects, you can say, of what a potter did. So the potter, first of all, found the right raw material to create the pots and the right process of creating the pots. And so that, you can say, is the science and technology part of it. And then you created the pot in an aesthetically pleasing shape, and then painted the pot using the right kind of colors. And that is the art aspect of that pot creation. And then you took those pots and you sold those pots to your customers, which is the commerce aspect. So from your home, you did all these three things. The technology and science aspect of it, the arts aspect of it, the commerce aspect of it. And the whole family used to be involved in this process. It was not like how it is today, where one man goes to do a job and then comes back and he is the bread earner for the family. The whole family was a unit, and everybody was involved in the business, and the earnings that happened belonged to the whole family, not to a particular individual. And this is what I'm describing used to happen in the pre-industrial times. Another aspect of this that I want to highlight, which is very interesting and subject to misunderstanding, is at what price were the pots sold? So today, it is sort of obvious for us when we go and buy something in a shop, everything has a fixed price, and you buy a biscuit packet for rupees 10. And whether I have 1,000 rupees in my pocket or I have 1 lakh rupees, it doesn't matter. I am going to pay rupees 10 for the biscuit packet. It was not like that in those days. It was very different. The price of the pot was determined by factors we can't understand from today's context. So if a rich sate, a rich person went and bought pots, the potter would charge more from that person. And whereas the poorest of the poor person went and wanted the pots, the potter would give that person for a very low cost, or maybe even give it for free.
Price elasticity.
Exactly. But it was based on this principle, and it was everybody understood it, and the rich person was happy to give more because it was not seen as the price for that object. The model was very different. And it's not only about pots. Everything that you went and procured was because the way to see it is the economy of a village was based on spending, not income. It's a different model where for leading your life, you have to spend money on a certain amount of things. You have to buy pots, and you have to buy the diyas in Diwali, and you have to buy the mirror, and you have to, I mean, all the goods that you need, you have to buy all of them from all those jatis in the village so that the whole system is such that everybody has a sustainable livelihood. And it was a very interesting model, which post-industrial times, it has completely changed. So what is happening to the castes of India today? Industrial revolution caused changes in economy where now production started to happen through factories, and a lot of things that the traditional jatis in India were doing is no longer relevant, or is relevant only to the extent where a few of us will buy ethnic clothes, few of us will buy craft objects for decoration, and those objects are not the basis on which we lead our lives. We will buy factory produced clothes and factory produced objects. And so in some sense, the jatis of India are no longer relevant in that sense. And people are moving, urbanization is happening at a large scale, and people are moving to cities. And in cities, that identity of yours is no longer relevant. And you do some other job, you become a security guard in a company instead of painting the pots.
Thanks, Akhilesh. So I think we have to wrap up. This is the end of this episode. We have talked about the caste system, and we'll talk about other topics with Akhilesh in future episodes, like festivals of India and how understanding our geography can help you understand India. That's it. Thank you so much for your time today, Akhilesh, and thank you for enlightening the audience or helping us understand the caste system. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on DelhiShoppingTour.com. You can write to us at Anubhav@DelhiShoppingTour.com or Ketki@DelhiShoppingTour.com. More information on the tours can be found on www.DelhiShoppingTour.com. It'll mean a lot to us if you like the podcast on iTunes and leave comments so that other people can also discover this podcast. Your comments on iTunes will mean a lot to us. It'll help us keep doing a good job and encourage us to get more of these episodes and more stories from Delhi out there into the world.